Right, so today I am going to talk about what I call Desperate Dan. It's all about how God opens different doors. But I want to begin by asking a question. Does anybody here have a favourite day of the week? Anyone have a favourite day? Friday. Elma, what's your favourite day?
Friday.
Friday. Why on Friday?
It's the weekend.
Hey, it's the weekend. Anyone else have a favourite day?
Sunday.
Sunday. Why is it Sunday, Lorraine? Yeah, that's the right answer. Anybody else got a favourite day? Who's that down the back? Anne, what's your favourite day? Friday and Sunday. Double portion for you, Anne, a double portion. Anyone like Monday? Joe, why do you like Monday? Ah, he's a tough fellow. He's tough. When I was a child, going back to when I was 7 or 8, my favourite day of the week was Friday as well, because when it got to lunchtime in school, they stopped doing regular lessons and we'd do fun stuff like music or quiz or sports or whatever. And when I would go home in the middle of the day for dinner, in Ireland back then, everybody had their main meal in the middle of the day. On Friday, my mother would make fish and chips. Yay! Because like all good Irish Catholic families, nobody ate meat on a Friday. That was forbidden as a Catholic then. I don't know if it's still the case, but most people ate fish, and I always preferred fish anyway. And then most important for me was my mother that morning would have bought my brother, my sister and myself comics. These were physical, for those of you who were young, physical paper. So they would have bought comics. We didn't have any screens back then. And my favourite comic was called The Dandy. My brother's favourite comic was called The Beano. And my sister had some girls' comics that we never knew anything about anyway. She used to read them. But we loved our comics, and my favourite character was this guy. He was called Desperate Dan. He was the singing cowboy. And I want to look at Desperate Dan today. It wasn't that he was desperate. It was that all of the bad guys, the enemies, became desperate when he took them on. And as a small boy, I was fascinated that when he had to shave his very strong beard, he had to use a blowtorch to shave his beard, and I wanted to be like that when I grow up, and I am. Anyway, that was me, Desperate Dan, but I want to bounce off that and tell you about another Dan in the Bible, and this guy is from the tribe of Dan. He was one of the sons of Jacob, or Israel, and how many tribes were there in Israel?
12.
He was one of the 12. And all these tribes were allocated land in the land of Israel. They came in and they possessed the land. They took it over. The people who were there before were really evil. They would murder their children. They would rape women. It was an evil society that God judged. And he brought in the believers back then. And the tribe of Dan were given territory along with all the other tribes. So I want to look at the learning for you and me today from it. But I want to pray that it speaks to you. And this isn't just an old talk. So I'm going to ask you, as you sit, would you put a hand on your heart and a hand on your head? In brokenness and in humility, we pray today that your eternal word, the Bible, would speak to our minds and speak to our hearts and help us to walk your ways, to be both challenged and encouraged by your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So who is this Dan with his tribe? Well, they were given their inherited land. The problem is the enemy attacked them. Has anybody here ever experienced an attack from the enemy? A spiritual attack. Anyone? Okay, there's loads of hands going up. It's when there is an evil one there, known in the Bible as Satan, the devil, Lucifer, who can use his agents and attack us. He can attack us in all different ways. With these guys, we're talking physical, but for us today, we look at it spiritually. And we're told in Judges 1, 34 to 35, the Amorite enemy attacked the people of Dan and pushed them back to the hill country. The enemy pushed them back. We were singing Christ before me, Christ behind me. We need the Lord behind us as well. But here we see the enemy pushed them back from their inheritance. Here's my question. Has the enemy been pushing you back? Have you found yourself retreating with your mental health? Have you found yourself being pushed back in your friendships, your family, your work, your study, your health? Has he been pushing you back? Very often it is the enemy who pushes us back. And I want to give hope today. I want to prophesy and declare God has something better for you. Hallelujah. Now, in order to understand what we're looking at today, has anyone going to give a wild guess as to what I need to show you? A map. Well, you got to say it with excitement. You don't say a map. You go, a map! Here's a map. Actually, I got two maps for you today. Baby. And you got to keep watching until the end to see the second map. There's a treat for you. But this is a map of ancient Israel, and this is the lands that the 12 tribes had at the time. And you can see the tribe of Dan were here in this area of central Israel. You can see it on this screen over here, or you can see it. Okay, it doesn't work enough. So it's the area today in Israel between Tel Aviv and Jerusalem, the two biggest cities. And you go from the coastal plain in Tel Aviv and you rise up, because you always go up to Jerusalem. And we still go up to the Lord today, don't we? We go up to his presence. And so you travel in the hill country up to Jerusalem. This was the land the tribe of Dan had, but the enemy attacked them and took back not all the land, but a lot of it. So the people were crushed together. What they had, they lost a lot of it. And some of us are here today, and we have lost something over the last few months. Maybe you've lost your peace. Maybe you've lost your thinking, your clarity of thinking. Maybe you've lost a friend. Maybe you've lost someone in your family. But the enemy will push us back. What did this guy and this tribe do? The desperate Dan, if you will, the guy who made the enemy desperate. Well, what we see is that God opens new doors. Here we are now, nearly the middle of February. New year is over. We're right into the groove of a new year. And some of us have lost some territory in our lives. And I want to show you and maybe plant a seed in your heart that in your daily life, perhaps God wants to open a totally different door that you and I have never considered. So that's what we're going to look at today. But before God will open a door in your life or in my life, guess what? We got to knock on the door first. We read that Jesus knocks on the door of our hearts. It says in Revelation, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man or woman hears my voice and opens the door," what does God promise? "I will come in." So God promises to come into our lives when we hear the knocking. The thing is, you and I have to knock on doors. What does that mean? It means we need to pray. Let's say it's your work and you find you're at a dead end and you're really struggling with work. How about praying? "God, have you got something new for me? Is there a different way I could go here?" And then it's not just praying. It's just being open to what the Holy Spirit will do through your circumstances. It's getting a peace in your heart. It's hearing the good advice of Christian friends who want your good. That's what knocking is. It's trying to negotiate where you're going. In fact, in Matthew chapter 7, verse 7, it says, "Ask and it shall be given unto you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door will be opened unto you." Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. It's not rocket science. What is it James said? You have not because you ask not. Oh, if only this was in my life. Have we prayed? Have we asked God? It's so simple. Maybe we haven't. I remember on a Friday as a child in school, the parish priest would visit our school, Greenmount Boys National School, not far away from here. And while I knew some priests who weren't great, this guy was a good guy. I would say he loved the Lord. He mightn't have used the word born again, but I think he loved the Lord. He was born again. He was a Monsignor, a really educated guy. But he used to come in on a Friday and he used to always say, boys, you need to learn verses of the Bible. That's a good thing, isn't it?
Yes.
And he would say, one way of learning verses from the Bible is to sing them. Now, I remember in the 1980s, there was a Christian guy from Scotland who put all of the Psalms to music. And still to this day, decades later, I remember so many of the Psalms through the songs as I sing during the day. But I remember the Monsignor teaching us this song. Does anyone remember this song before, this verse sung in a song? Okay, they were all at the early service. Here, there's a few.
Yes.
The song is, what way does it go? Ask and it shall be given unto you. Put up your hand if you know it. Seek and you shall find. Oh, they knew it in India. Knock and the door shall be open unto you. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Yeah, if you got a falsetto voice, hallelujah, that song to myself during the day sometimes, and I never forget that verse. And I believe God is saying, I have a new door in your life. Will you ask? Will you seek? Will you knock? Will you see what God has for you? What can we learn from the tribe of Dan? Well, they were pushed back. They lost not all their territory. And maybe you're here today, you haven't lost everything because you still have faith. You're in here today. But someone or something has taken ground from you. Well, when we look at the Bible, we see Dan, how he knocked on the doors. He started going searching. What do we mean? Well, the book of Judges says this. Chapter 18, 1 to 2. The people of the tribe of Dan sent out spies, meant to spy and explore the land as they needed more of an inheritance in the land God had given to Israel. So this was their inheritance. God said, take the land. In your life and in my life today, do you think God wants you to have an addiction?
No.
I can't hear anyone over here.
No.
Do you think God wants you to have anxiety?
No.
Do you think God wants to have your heart broken in the wrong way?
No.
He doesn't. He doesn't. So God has given you an inheritance. But the enemy tries to push us back. So the tribe of Dan went exploring. They weren't looking at the neighboring tribes. They were all part of the one nation, like 12 counties. The way we have Cork, Kerry, Waterford, Limerick, Tipperary, and so on. They had 12 areas in the land of Israel. But this tribe goes right up to the very north, up by Lebanon. And we're told, the spies traveled north and they came to the city of Laish in the valley of Beth Rehob. This is modern day southern Lebanon. If you follow the news, it's where Hezbollah were firing rockets into the Galilee up until recently. But this is the area where there was this valley. And they go and they discover it. And this is the crux of what I want to say today. Who was living in this valley, in this city, and what was their attitude? I find this fascinating. Verse 7 says, the people of Laish lived quiet security, lacking nothing, with great wealth. However, they were naive and unsuspecting. So that part of the world is very fertile. It's just near Mount Hermon. If you go to Israel today, you'll see snow there. And from that melt, you have a well-watered valley. So the land was fertile, well-watered, good climate. They were wealthy. They had peace around them. They had great security. But these people were naive. They were unsuspecting. Why? Because there was no one to help them, because they lived far away from their relatives in Sidon, and they had no relationship. What kind of relationship?
No relationship.
What kind of relationship?
No relationship.
No relationship with anyone else. Sidon is a city on the coast of the Mediterranean in Lebanon. It was a good distance away. Generations back, some people had moved out from there and dispossessed the previous people, and they then went to live in that valley. But they lost contact with those people, their relatives. They became their own thing, and they wouldn't relate to anyone around them. Brothers, sisters, if you've moved here from another country, praise God for the people back in your home country, but you need to connect here in Ireland.
Yeah.
Four people said yes.
Yes.
Who'll say a big amen?
Amen.
The Bible says, better a neighbor who is near than a brother who is far away.
Yeah.
If you need help in the middle of the night, a screen isn't going to do much good to you. If your heart is broken and you're going out of your mind, or you need someone to pick you up off the ground or give you a lift to the hospital, you know what? Better a neighbour who is near than a brother far away. You might have a great friendship back in Cape Town or Lagos or Manila or Chicago or Manchester or wherever it is, but you need someone in Cork.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
That's
amen.
True.
Amen.
Amen.
Man, I'm insecure.
Amen.
You need someone in Cork.
Amen.
This is the promised land.
Yes.
These people, they did have each other, but they had no one else. And when an enemy comes calling on your door, when you hear knock, 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 on your door, and it's not the Lord, and it's not his people, you need connections locally. And that's called the Christian church for Christians. So what we see is they were secure, they were wealthy, they were living in peace. You might go, I want to be one of those. But they were isolated, and they were foolish. If you will, they were stupid, because they were a sitting duck. They were a target for anyone who wanted to steal from them. Listen to me, I've been a Christian since 1980. I've 30 years as a pastor. It never changes. The ones who lose their faith are the ones who are isolated. It's true. The ones who have no connection, they think they're strong, and that's the weakest moment in your life. When we think we're really strong and we can do it on our own, that's when the evil one will attack us. And he'll isolate you, and he'll get you, and he'll mess with your head, and he'll mess with your emotions, he'll mess with your body, and he will definitely mess with your spirit. So these people were too far away from the people they knew, and they had no relationships all around them. What were they? Really, it was like the blind leading the blind. It's what psychologists call groupthink. It's where a group is isolated and they tell each other stories and they begin to believe a lie. I bet you when the spies from the tribe of Dan were moving through that city in that valley, what they heard was, we're secure, baby. We really got a great life here. We are so peaceful here. We've got such wealth here. It's wonderful. And it was. But you're wide open. This is true for nations who isolate themselves. It's true for organizations like trade unions or whatever. It's also true for churches. You see, in Christianity, denominations have been going down for many decades. denominations are really not the way a lot of churches identify. The growth tends to be more in non-denominational or independent churches. We are a non-denominational independent church, but that does not mean that we are isolated. So besides building up our own community here, I personally have always tried to invest time, energy, and money, whatever, myself, to connect with other churches across Ireland, UK, pastors around Europe and in America and so on. Why? Because we need outside voices every now and again. We've got Paul and Priscilla Reed coming next weekend, an older, mature couple who've got such experience. I can remember being up in Belfast back in the 90s, and I set my face to going up and introducing myself to them so that I could connect with them, because I knew we need to connect with other churches. I was up in Limerick just before Christmas preaching up in a church there, and friendly with the leaders there, the pastors. And during the week, we had a question that we couldn't answer here with the building about a legal thing with church buildings. I was able to get on to my buddy, the pastor up there, and he was able to answer all our questions. I go around Europe, I go around the UK, I've been to America a few times. It's important that we can see and hear what the Spirit is doing to the worldwide church. We can learn from one another. I learn from them. Maybe they pick up one or two things from me. And together, in a multitude of counselors, there is what?
Wisdom.
Wisdom. So we hear from one another and we learn from one another. So as a church, that is important. We are not denominational, but we are very relational. And we have relational links all around. These people had no relationship. Don't be like them. What happened? The army of Dan conquered those naive, unsuspecting people in the city of Laish. God was giving the tribe of Dan land to inherit, but it works on the flip side. If we are isolated and on our own, the enemy can attack us, and he can steal from us and take the land. But the tribe of Dan took that land, and we're told they rebuilt and settled in that city, and they gave it a new name. It, from then on, it was called the City of Dan. Really imaginative. You've all been waiting for the other map, haven't you? I can see it in your faces. If you're new here, we got an in-house joke about me and maps. Anyway, here's the second map. So while they lost some territory, the tribe of Dan, they still kept on to some of it down here in center Israel. You can see it there. But equally, they took over this area right up in what is today Lebanon. You can see it up here. And here's the cool thing, I think. They were the only tribe to have what is known as non-contiguous territory. In other words, they weren't just in one space. They were bilocational. They had two different areas. The only tribe of all the 12 to have that. You see, God is a God of creation. Yeah. God can do something new. And you might go, but none of my workmates ever had that. Or none of my fellow students ever had that. Or no one in my family ever did that. But God is able to do it. God can open doors for you that you never thought he could open. He's opened doors for me. I never thought I'd be a pastor. I never thought we'd have our own building in the heart of the city. I never thought I'd be married. I never thought I'd have kids and grandkids. I could keep going on. But God can do things. And so this tribe ended up being in two locations. What I find fascinating, though, is the people who stayed in the original situation, we kind of don't hear from them again. But the guys who moved up to the north of the country and conquered new land up there became quite famous in the land of Israel in the Old Testament. Alone yesterday, I came across 8 or 9 verses. This is one of them. All Israel knew from Dan to Beersheba that Samuel was the true prophet of the Lord. So here is the city of Dan. There's Mount Hermon just below it, and all the way south to Beersheba in the Negev Desert. So you can see it there. So Dan, this tribe that conquered this new area late on, became famous, and everyone talking about the land of Israel would talk about the very northern part and the very southern part. And it became part of their culture and their identity. I love this land from Dan to Beersheba. I have traveled this land from Dan to Beersheba. How did all that fame start out? It started out when the enemy pushed them back. And they didn't lie down and take that as a defeat. But they had, they were not perfect people, but they had the faith and they had the vision to say, I can do more than what I've seen before. And there, here's the thing. I declare over you, I prophesy over you. Have you discovered the more that God can give to you? Have you even dreamt of a new door God can open for you? Think big. God is not small. But some of us have a small God. He's a tiny little God for an hour on a Sunday. No, he's not. He's the God who does miracles. He's the God who transforms lives. He's the God who heals cancer. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He raises the dead. He heals broken hearts and broken minds. Why can't he open a different door and a new door? And that's what he did for them. It's a bit like we say, from Malin to Mizzen, from the very north of Ireland up in Donegal to the very south of Ireland, down in West Cork here, Mizzen Head. By the way, if you've never been to Mizzen Head, you need to go there on a sunny day. I don't think there's a more beautiful place in the world, personally. But that's what Dan became. They became famous like that. As I come towards a conclusion, this is what I want to say. I've been reading this verse for 40 years, Proverbs 18:1. He who stays isolated cares only about himself and rages against all sound wisdom. You see, someone who doesn't want other people in their lives, they're probably incredibly selfish. We're not talking about someone shy here now. Don't get me wrong. Someone who really doesn't want anyone around. Or a couple who don't want anyone around. Or a family who are so insular they won't allow anyone near them. Or even a community, a church. I knew of a church about 35 years ago here in Ireland. And the pastor decided they weren't to be contaminated with other Christians. And of course the whole thing blew up and it was a terrible disaster. But years later, because they were all my own age, I knew some of them, and I asked them what it was like to live through that dictatorship, really, of that pastor. And what they said was, we were like the people of Jericho in the book of Genesis. Nobody went out, and nobody came in. The city of Jericho was holed up, and the children of Israel were marching around it. That's what they felt like. Isolation never works out good. There may be a season where we need to be on our own with God, but that's all it is, a season. We're meant to be in community.
Praise God.
Amen.
Going to say it again. We're meant to be in community.
Amen.
I know it can be difficult. I know there's times you'd rather you weren't or I weren't. But that's what we're called to do. Why? Because we were made. You were created to be part of a community. This is the Maker's instructions. This is what the Bible says. If you don't like that, take your fight with God. Because all over the Bible, it's all about connecting. Connecting. Even if we look at the cross of Jesus Christ, we see we relate with God. That is the vertical part of the cross. And the horizontal part is where we're meant to connect with others. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Love others as yourself. Jesus said that is the whole of the scripture summed up in one sentence. Is this true for you? Do you love God and do you love others? Particularly our brothers and sisters. This is what we're called to do. So brothers and sisters, if the enemy has pushed you back, if you have lost some ground over the last few months from the enemy in whatever way, I want to say to you today, God wants to give you new ground.
Yeah.
The children of Dan didn't fight back the enemy on that land because God had something extra for them elsewhere. It was fertile, it was wealthy, it was secure. So I want to pray two things today. If the band can come up, One prayer is that God will open a different door in some of our lives. That's some of our prayers. And for more of us, we're going to say, Lord, would you help me connect more? Can we stand, brothers and sisters? No! In a real church with real people, who's got the courage to say, the enemy pushed me back and I want to take territory for God in my life? Who's willing to admit to that? Put up your hand. Don't be ashamed. No Christian has ever breathed breath that wasn't in that situation. And I also want, you can take down your hands for a second. If you want to pray the prayer today, God help me connect more. Maybe you find it more difficult to connect. Maybe you've just noticed things slipping. You've been so busy with work, you've lost contact with friends. Or maybe you just know, I need to make more of an effort. Maybe by going to one of the 20 small groups operating here in church. If you want to say, help me connect more, would you lift your hand? Okay. I'm going to invite you. If you put your hand up to either, let's allow the Holy Spirit to move here today. Let's see God move into your life. Would you leave your seat and come forward? Just come up to the top as close as you can. Let room for the people coming up behind you. Michael's going to sing the chorus again. Thanks, Michael.
My pilot, my captain, my guide and my guardian, blessed.
To come up. But if he has pushed you back and you know, and something is in your heart now to say, God opened a new door, you're starting the journey by coming up here. You're beginning to knock on the door. So I'm going to ask you to lift your hands up high and we're going to pray into your life in the name of Jesus of Nazareth. I pray a new door. Who'll say amen? I pray God would give you a vision and a courage to travel the territory. And rather than them doing it the way everyone else did it, that you would take new ground. Amen. That you would go into enemy territory. And you would become a different person. I pray that your testimony would become known to Christians across Ireland. Because you went where others were afraid to go. So into your life, I declare, I prophesy, I pray, God open a new door in Jesus' name. Amen. Would anyone say amen?
Amen?
I've been seeing this in my mind's eye all week. And it was some of you here standing in a train station. And you stand on the edge of a platform. And the trains were whizzing by so fast. And you're standing there and you're feeling left behind. But then I saw a train coming, and it didn't pass you by, it stopped. The train has stopped for you today in spiritual realms. The train is stopping for you today. Have a bit of faith, have a bit of courage, and take the step and get on the train that is stopping it by your feet, because God has a new thing for you. Who'll say amen?
Amen.
Now some of us today have had the courage to say, maybe you're down in the body of the hall as well, and you're saying, God, help me to connect. Help me to be a friend. That's how we make friends, we become friends. Help me to connect. Help me to reach out. Help me not to be too busy with some things, but to leave room. So I'm not naive. I'm not unsuspecting. I'm not attacked. This is a conscience thing for all of us. If that's your prayer, would you lift your hand? And you might be lifting your hand for but two things today, that's fine. If you're down in the hall, lift your hand if that's your prayer. Come, Holy Spirit. I pray now, Lord, you would rescue us from being too independent. Can you say amen to that? I pray God would rescue us from any pride. Can we say amen to that? And I pray that God would give us the humility and the courage to reach out to others, and that we would be open to others as they reach out to us. I come against the spirit of loneliness. And I pray no man or woman here would ever get sick because of loneliness. I come against broken hearts and broken minds. Jesus, Savior, rescue your people and help us start here and connecting with one another. Let this house be a house of friendship. Who'll say amen?
Amen.
A house of love. Can you say amen?
Amen?
And we pray a house of example to the world. See how they love one another. May that be said of you and said of me. In Jesus' mighty name, and God's people said,
amen.
The Lord is saying to someone here, I don't know who you are. Maybe you're up here or you're down there. But there's someone here with a sibling, a brother or a sister. And they've hurt you so much that you are fearful because of what they did to you. And God is saying to you today, I'm here to heal you. I'm here to help you get over that. And you need to have faith in God, because just because they hurt you doesn't mean other people are going to hurt you in that way. Now you've got Jesus. Now you've got the one who's before you. Now you've got the one who's behind you. Now you've got the one within you and all around you. So can we all close our eyes in the hall, on stage and off stage? If you've had a sibling who's hurt you and you know that's you, in total privacy, just slip up your hand and then you can take it down again. See your hand, see your hand, see your hand. See yours and yours, yours. Yours, yours, yours. Okay, I think we've about 12, 11 or 12 hands. Can I ask everyone in solidarity, let's all lift our hands one last time. But we're doing it with those 11 or 12 people, so that they don't feel isolated. You can open your eyes if you want, but I pray in Jesus' name that each of these 11 or 12 people would recover, would get over the hurt, and know the Holy Spirit ministering into that place in their mind and their heart where they were wounded in the past. And we pray healing. We pray recovery. We pray hope. We pray Jesus, we speak Jesus into every area that you are haunted with by those memories. And we pray today, Sunday the 8th of February, in the year of our Lord 2026, you would begin to see a new door open in your life by the grace of God for your future. We pray it in Jesus' name, and God's people say,
amen.